Welcome to the 20 Minutes of Filler podcast, episode 54, Hungry. Hey, I'm your host, Jason Gutarski, and I'm here again with my friend,
Eric Carlson.
Yeah, we're doing our Friday game thing. How's it going, dude?
Good, it's good.
Cool. Well, today we have a special episode, and one of the things that makes it super special is that it's episode 54. Do you know what 54 signifies?
No.
The number of cards in a standard playing card deck.
Of course.
You know, couple jokers in there. It's a good number. 54. It's pretty cool. We've been doing this for 54 episodes. Eric, you're a little newer on the scene.
A little new.
But you've been listening for a long time, So that's appreciated. And all you guys out there listening, thank you for our Deck of Cards anniversary. Thank you for joining us for this commemorative episode of 20 Minutes of Filler. We are going to talk about some games, have a little something to do with food. We played some fillers today that we want to chat about. And the upcoming filler coming from Green Couch Games, which fits nicely into the food category. We also want to have a little fun. Before that, I just want to say, Jurassic Attack.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did it, man. I filled some envelopes. I sent them all out. Unless you were one of the three people who didn't give me their addresses, Jurassic Attack is on its way to you. And if you're an international person outside of the United States, you may be getting two packages because I couldn't afford to send it to you in one. It would have been like paying you to take my game because of the recent postal rate hikes here in the U.S. But it is shipped. We're getting some good feedback. People are playing it. It's the kind of game you can pop out of the box right then, read the one page of rules, and be playing and having fun. So we love seeing that. Please keep sharing it. Rate it on BGG. Tell us what you think. Tell us your favorite dinosaur. Share the love of dinosaur barbarism with your loved ones. I appreciate it. Ryan Collar, the designer, appreciates it. And, historians may or may not appreciate it, because I don't know how factually correct Jurassic is for that period of dinosaurs. But we'll just pretend like I didn't mention that. And if Steven Spielberg can name a movie how he named it, this is my monologue here.
It's fine.
Thanks. It's fine. Anyway, you get where I'm going. Thank you so much for joining us. Eric, ready to play a little game? We're going to play a little game right now.
All right. I'm nervous.
Okay, so the theme of the game here is, the theme of the podcast is Hungry. And we are going to talk about a dinner game. And we are going to talk about a dessert game. All right? We're going to talk about another dinner game, too. So I thought for this portion of the show, we could do a little appetizer conversation.
Excellent.
So here's my plan. I'm going to throw out a game name, all right? And you're going to tell me what appetizer you would choose to go with that game. And then you can throw some at me, too.
All right.
Does that sound good?
Fair enough.
All right, appetizers. Let's start simple. We'll go back to last week. Dice Masters.
I was going to say Dice Masters.
Too late.
Oh, I think... I think that you need something small and bite-sized to go with the dice, so I would say, like, fried cheese balls. Here in Flint, we have a number of places that do this sort of fried. It's like a mozzarella stick only in a ball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so...
Yeah, I know of the ones of which you speak.
Yeah, so I think they would be perfect.
Okay, yeah. So really small, bite-sized game components. Don't eat... We do not recommend eating Dice Masters dice. But... The cheese balls to go with it. Nice. Yeah. And fried cheese balls.
Get a little grease on the fingers, so then when the dice just kind of fly out of your hands a little more easily.
And right, and when you're playing a game like Dice Masters, you're obviously super anal and have this collector habit, so your games are sleeved.
Right.
So little greasy fingers isn't going to hurt anything.
No.
Awesome. I like it. I'm into it. All right. Your turn.
Loop Inc.
Loop Inc. Oh, this is good. Okay, so it's about time travel. It's futuristic stuff. So I'm thinking... Little packets of, like, astronaut freeze-dried ice cream.
That's perfect.
And some Tang to drink.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. Oh, that is, wow. Point goes to Jason.
Thank you very much. that's good. Okay, so let me think of something else. Okay, here's a good one. Best treehouse ever.
Best treehouse ever.
We're going to stick with Scott Holmes for a minute here.
Oh, well... When I had a treehouse as a kid. It was more like a fort.
You had a treehouse, dude?
Yeah. Well, as one part, yeah. So that's where you would hide all of your junk food. So, like, I would remember eating containers of just, like, cake frosting, like Oreo cake, just, like, eating the entire container in a sitting. And so I think, like, the junkiest, most delicious thing, because treehouse satisfies that childhood desire that's deep and rooted there. So,
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, and that kind of, like, frosting in a can, dude, that's, like, shelf-stable stuff, man. Exactly. So does it have to leave it out there? No.
You just got to get it there.
Maybe once it's opened, you got to eat the whole thing. Yeah, exactly. I get that. Yeah, I get that. Yeah. All right.
All right. I got a good one. The Grizzled.
Ooh, the Grizzled. That's sad and brutal. What kind of appetizer? Probably some saltine crackers is what I'm thinking. Saltine crackers and a shared glass of water for the entire group.
So if the war doesn't get you, the contagion of sharing viruses will, for sure.
Oh, man, that's good. Okay, I got one. Pandemic.
No, pandemic. Oh, man. Well, when trying to cure the world, you got to be eating things to keep up the energy, right? So you need like some high protein, something with like some steak, because this might be it. So like a steak and cheese bite on some delicious crackery bread type thing, something that really fills you up so you can go and battle all yeah. the attacks.
See, I was thinking from the other side. I was thinking about the brat diet. You gotta have your bread. You gotta have what's the red, the R for?
I have no idea.
You never heard the brat diet? Hold on, let me get back to the R. It's what you do when you have diarrhea. You know, it's like you know, the flu. Applesauce.
Oh.
Toast. Uh-huh. I can't remember what the R is. But just those simple foods, you know. Broth. Broth is what the B is for, because I already it's not bread and toast. That's silly. But yeah, you know, you like gotta eat it, you just gotta take it easy because you're, you know. If you got the pandemic, I think that either way we can go either way.
Yeah. Depends on which side of the pandemic you're on, I guess.
Exactly. Okay, got one more.
Let's say Martian dice. Back to dice.
And Scott Alms again. Okay, Martian dice. What would be a good appetizer for Martian dice? It has to be strange. And it obviously. Small cubed beef that are on toothpicks.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, like they're trying to steal the cows, the aliens are.
Oh.
So we're experiencing what they are. Mm-hmm. We're cutting it up, dissecting it. Or like really funny shaped jello mold. Like Bart Simpson jello mold, I don't know if it's appropriate.
Yeah. There's a lot of aliens in the Simpsons.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
All right, well that was fun.
Yeah.
Until next time, this has been 20 minutes of filler.
Enjoy your food this weekend.
Now we're gonna talk about some games too. Some games we played today. First of all, I got a shiny new Kickstarter in the mail, and I've been looking forward to this one, especially because I'm gonna look forward to playing it with my kid. And it is a game from Josh and Helena Kappel, who started a new little company. Helena started a little company called Kids Table Board Gaming. And they're a couple from Canada. Josh is an illustrator and a game designer. And they designed this game together. And Josh did the illustration and graphic design. And Helena is doing the publishing. And this is a cool game. So it's called Food Fighters. And it is a battle game with all the right ingredients. and it's a game that I can totally see working well with kids, but we played it today as a little head-to-head tactical battle game, and it was pretty cute.
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's awesome.
So, like, the heart of the game is that you have a 3x3 grid of your faction, and the base game is meat versus vegetables.
Yeah.
So Eric was, he's a bacon guy, right?
That's me.
So he was all meat this time. And I've been trying to be a little healthier for the new year, you know, so I'm eating a lot more vegetables. So I got to be vegetables. And you place them in a 3x3 grid randomly. And each of these little dudes, like you have, so I had broccoli and onion and cabbage. And Maybe it was lettuce. I don't know, whatever.
Either way.
And each one has a thought bubble of what they're thinking about, and that's who they're aiming for, right? So you can only, you can attack something. So, like, my 3x3 grid is in front of his 3x3 grid, which is chicken and steak and bacon.
Yeah, bacon.
And they all have these little thought bubbles, right? Well, on your turn, you can roll dice to get beans. Beans are like your currency. You can swap the position of two of the people in your grid, mm-hmm. or move somebody as long as you move them to the same row in an empty spot, if you have an empty spot. Or you can... There's one more thing you can do. You can... Oh, attack, right? Mm-hmm. So you target somebody who is directly in front of you or diagonal from you that you are thinking about, right? And then you roll two dice to attack, and if you get a splat, then you hit, and they are removed from the grid.
Yeah.
But if you miss and get beans, you get to collect the beans. If you just decide to roll for beans, you just roll for beans and collect beans. And you want to swap your positions around because you might be thinking about, you know, you might be trying to protect somebody, because the way mm-hmm. you win is to get three of the same type of vegetable collected. So, like, if I eliminate three of your bacons, then I win.
Right.
Which didn't happen today.
But bacon is a vegetable.
Bacon is a vegetable?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, sure, practically.
I consider it a vegetable, but that's just me.
You can have a steak with a side of bacon and you feel like you've had a rounded
exactly, meal. Exactly.
Nice. So there's some special power cards that can be bought with beans. The things you could buy with beans is a little wooden spoon, which gives you further reach. You can reach anybody in line with you, so you can be in the far back and shoot somebody far in the back. You get a cracker for a shield, which gives you a little extra protection if you get a hit. Then your cracker gets crushed and removed from the game, so you have to get hit twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a pan, which allows you to cover up your thought bubble, and now you're thinking about anything. You're willing to go after anybody.
I kind of saw it as like a pan helmet, so it just like blocks what you're thinking, and then you can just go and attack anything you want.
Nice, nice. So really great art. I mean, Josh Kappel is one of the best artists in the biz when it comes to his like colorful, just like the way he lays things out, like is really intuitive. There's no words on the cards. Well, there's words on the special power cards mm-hmm. that you can buy. They're asymmetrical. You each get three special power cards, but they're a little bit different than each other's. So that's a nice touch. But yeah, the presentation is great. The wooden bits are amazing. The wooden bits, these little beans, they look like little beans. And the pan and the spoon, man, and it's got little custom molded dice. So you get a nice little game in this package. And I don't know. I think it's a lot of fun. Like, who do you think would like this game, Eric?
Yeah, I think it has that kid appeal all the way to adults. I really enjoyed it. It's beautiful. It's got tiles for the food items, which is great. Kind of gives that nice weighty feel to it as you're moving things around.
Yeah, it feels deluxe. Like, they could have been cards, but, like, they went for it. That must be one of the beauties of Kickstarter, being able to upgrade components or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So kids and adults, yeah, I think so. I'm going to try this out this weekend with my kid, but I really enjoyed it. I think I'll play with my wife, too, because it was it's just quick. It's like you're mm-hmm. responding in the moment, like, what's the best decision I should take? A little bit of, randomness from the dice rolls.
Yep.
Which can be a little bit frustrating, but, like, you can also time that. Because you mitigate that by having some beans to spend to mm-hmm. upgrade your characters. Yeah. You can choose when you need to run and hide, when you need to equip somebody with a shield. Really, really fun little game. So, yeah, that's Food Fighters.
Yeah, it's got enough strategy, but you don't have to be a strategic genius to win this war. So that's what I like about it.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's going to work well with my 6.5-year-old, is because it's like a game that is not like so dumbed down that mm-hmm. it's not fun for me.
Right.
But she'll still be able to grasp the gameplay and make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the dice roll, in which, you know, that'll always, you know, even the playing field a little bit. Absolutely. So, well, the other thing you can do is you can buy a bonus die. Yeah. Right? That was one of the other things you could buy. So yeah, Food Fighters, the game, the battle game with all the right ingredients from Kids Table Board Game. We recommend this for families as a nice little 2-player game. And as soon as you check out Josh's art, you're gonna want to give this game a spin. And Helena's for her first game. We've been talking a little bit, getting to know each other through Facebook, and we have similar, similar kind of aesthetic that we want to make great games that kids will enjoy and adults that look great. So it just happens that she has one of the best in the biz as her husband doing the artwork side of things.
That seems
so
helpful.
Yeah,
seems
it's helpful. Nice. Yeah. It's nice. So yeah, check them out. Throw them some support. You can find out more about them at kidstablebg.com or follow them on Twitter at kidstablebg too. So cool game, Food Fighters. So then we talked to, we played a little game that, for dessert here, we had dinner, yeah. Little meat and veggies, and then we went to Just Desserts, a game from Looney Labs. So have you played Flux?
Yeah.
Okay, so Flux is the is also by Looney Labs. That's the game that has made them their company is built on.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, one of the cool things is they're printed right here in Michigan. They print That's all awesome. Their games in the U.S., and the quality suffers a little bit for that, but like their ideals are like we want to keep, you know, the business in the United States.
Gotta respect it.
Yeah. But Just Desserts is a little filler game that looks really cute. On the outside, it's the little tagline is no soup, no salad, no entree, just desserts. And it's about being a waiter at a dessert cafe and serving guests their favorite meals or their favorite desserts, not meals. We're not doing that. We're not doing meals. And gameplay, why don't you explain a little bit about how this one works?
So you have some desserts in your hand that make up your hand. They have different symbols that represent the ingredients they're kind of made out of. And then you have a lineup of guests that keep coming through the door. At each turn, you draw a new guest and you draw a new dessert item, and you're trying to satisfy their desires. Some of them have things they do not want at all, so you can't fulfill their desires with your cards that have those things on them. So it's a kind of a little bit of a puzzle. And you get two actions, whether you're going to satisfy a couple of guests to collect them. You need five different types of guests or three of the same type to win. And so it's just kind of a little bit of a puzzle and trying to figure out what cravings that you should fill.
Yeah, and the way that you win is each of the different guests has a different suit they're a part of, mm-hmm. right? So you either have to get three of the same color, which is kind of similar to the Food Fighters goals, like trying to get three of the same thing, or you get five different ones. There's five suits total, and the first one to do that wins. And each guest has a favorite as well, which like gives you a bonus. You didn't say that, did you?
I didn't. Okay, no,
so like right. So if you fulfill, like, this one likes Boston cream pie, you can fulfill it with other ingredients, like they like chocolate and pie or whatever. Mm. But if you get the specific dessert they like, then you get to draw an extra card. It's a really simple game, which, you know, I always think about, like, Looney Labs as being, like, games that are approachable for anybody. And really, like, they don't – they're almost too simple, you know, in some cases. To be super satisfying, but they're also like cerebral. Like when you get into Flux, and Flux is like the game of changing rules, and like you have to keep track of like, well, there's this rule, then this rule, then this rule, and then that makes these two things work differently or opposed to each other. So you're like puzzling things out a lot in their games. You know, they're simple rules, but they are very cerebral. Like you're trying to, like in this one, you're trying to match symbol icons, but just the theme is what makes it feel lighter, and the simple like draw one, discard some, you know, like that's right. kind of the flow of the game, you know, and I think what makes it feel so light is the theme and the artwork, like mm-hmm. They did a lot of cool kind of archetypes for the characters, the dude, the little girl, the kid, the astronaut,
the hippie,
they all have appropriate the natural girl, you know, mm-hmm. like only likes fruit stuff. And like, so they're all thematically like clever, like the way that they put their sets together, their desired dessert choices. And it's one of the best looking games they've done because they spent some money on illustration, and they're really cute illustrations, and it plays quickly, probably in about 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's just cards. And, it's funny cause on the box, it says the time limit estimate is 10 to 40 minutes. And that's kind of like Flux too. Like this game could take a minute. This could take all night. So that's one of the things that is a little bit chaotic. So there is some randomness in this game that can make it frustrating. Like mm-hmm. We discarded the writer guy. He was like a real serious writer guy, and his favorite thing was an eclair. So I saw that and I drew the eclair, but then it was Eric's turn. And whenever a guest comes into the restaurant, if they have the same suit as another one, you have to discard one of them. and that guy went to the discard and then got covered up. So I was not able to fulfill his desire. And then Eric kept snatching things. Like I had the little boy's favorite, which was s'mores, and he snatched it up with the other ingredients. So like, there's that, like, I'm planning, and all of a sudden my opportunity that I'm working towards is just gone.
The door shuts.
The door shuts.
The line was too long.
Yeah. They walked away. They went down the street, got a different pastry, but it's a casual game. It does stretch your brain a little bit, like matching the symbols up and trying to kind of figure out how can I fulfill these desires with the least amount of cards. But then sometimes you're just like, I'm never going to be able to fulfill these because I can't get a peanut card or whatever. Right. So
I was really surprised by the types of ingredients and the numbers of them. There are a lot of ingredients that make up these people's desires. I thought there'd be 5 or 6 base ones, but and there's probably a dozen or more. And so the amount of variety that the game had really surprised me, and I thought that's what helps it, makes it a little more puzzly.
Yeah, right. It could have been like 3 basic ingredients and different numbers of them, and mm-hmm. you would have been flying. But yeah, they like you're waiting, you're drawing, and you know there's ways that you can discard some cards to get new cards to keep things changing. But yeah, I mean the basic thing is fulfill the desires, serve some just desserts, but there wasn't any justice in my desserts today. No. I thought I was going to make a comeback after Eric beat me at Food Fighters, but not so much. He took me down in the dessert game as well.
Yes, I got my bacon, I got my dessert, life is good.
Yeah. Life is good.
Life is good.
Unless you're me, and you lose all the games. But, yeah, that's some dinner and dessert. We'll talk about another dinner game. It's near and dear to my heart. And it is the next title coming to Kickstarter from Green Couch Games.
Yeah, yeah. What is that?
And the cool thing, what is Green Couch Games?
Tell me about that.
Thanks for playing into my ego a little bit there.
You're welcome.
The game that we're bringing to Kickstarter is Walk on Fire. Ooh. We've mentioned it a few times, but now we're getting serious because it's going to be hitting Kickstarter in the next week or two. I haven't solidified a date yet. I'm waiting for a few pieces to wrap up. And I am receiving tomorrow the first production copy of Avalanche at Yeti Mountain.
Oh, man.
So I don't want to launch a Kickstarter until I wanted to wait until all of Jurassic Attack was fulfilled. Until I knew Avalanche was on the boat on its way here before I launched the next one. Because you got to keep people, you know, you got to keep people's faith in mm-hmm. you by moving things along the process. So in the next little while, that will happen. The Avalanche Yeti Mountain will be on the boat. And then we'll be able to get everything that's that we're still waiting on, the final pieces of Walk on Fire out there, and be able to launch. But Walk on Fire is a little game by Poki Chen from Taiwan. And he's a member of the Taiwan Board Game Design Group, which there's some Smooks Chen is another member of that group. And there's been games like recently IDW put out Cat Tower. We just talked about that one a couple episodes ago. And these little games from this group are starting to pop up more and more. And the heart of Walk on Fire is that you are a stir fry chef.
Mm-hmm.
And you will be flipping for some serious fun here. You like that?
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
So in the game, you have a spatula card and a wok of ingredients. You set aside a supply. You deal 24 cards over to the side. And there's different types of... there's vegetables, and there's starches, and there's meats. And you throw the rest of them kind of face down into a circular pile, like in the middle, and that's your wok. You create imaginary boundaries or use your reference cards as the outside boundaries that you can't go outside of. But you use your little spatula card to get under that pile and you flip it over twice. And then you choose what you're going to take. And you get to take 2 things. Now, if there's ever a green pepper showing, you have to take that as one of your picks because you got to have the peppers.
Got to have it.
But the way that the game, after that, you're putting these things together in different sets or different combination meals. So... and they give you points in different ways, which I've heard that compared to Sushi Go. The scoring is kind of like mm-hmm. there's different ways to score. So you can get a bunch of onions. The more onions you get, the more points you get. You get exactly 3 mushrooms. It's worth 18 points. If you put together a combo of a meat, a starch, and a vegetable, it's worth 15. If you put together that with noodles and a condiment, then it's worth 25. Some of them have special powers, like the garlic allows you to discard or to flip again and give somebody else another object, another thing. If you have the most broccoli, you lose points at the end of the game.
Yeah, no one likes broccoli.
Yeah, nobody likes broccoli.
Nobody.
Gross. It's stuck in your teeth and it's terrible. But so, like, the art is super cute. These little vegetables and meats are, well, the meat is cute, but it's also chopped in half with bones sticking out of it.
Yeah.
But you'll have to see it to understand that it's done in the cutest way possible, right? And then everybody has smiling faces, except Broccoli, who's sticking your tongue out at you because he hates us.
Yep.
Pokey also did the illustration for the game. It's super cute. Adam MacIver has updated all of the graphic design for me and designed the box. And he's made this game, like, shine to the next level.
Nice.
So I'm really excited. I hope you guys will start watching for reviews for this one. And that you will be watching for me to send out links for the Kickstarter. It's going to be another cheap game. It's going to be about $15. And we got some cool things in store. Maybe some neat stretch goals if we fund well. It'll be a shorter campaign, another 3-week campaign. And we're going to bring you guys some stir-fried fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Walk on Fire, launching it very soon. And it's Dexterity meets Set Collection meets adorable falling in love with cute little vegetable faces, you know? You know?
Yeah.
What do you think of Walk on Fire, Eric?
I love it.
And you're not just saying that because you're my friend, right?
No. From the first time I played it, it's great. It's got that great dexterity aspect. It's kind of wild and crazy because you're flipping cards over and people don't know, you don't know how to do it the first couple of times. And so things are flying and it just creates lots of fun, laughter, and it's accessible for everyone, I think. So it's great. I love showing it to people and playing it with everybody.
Yeah, we were playing it at Grand Con this last fall, and everybody was loving it. Jason from Building the Game podcast said it's his most anticipated game of 2016.
Oh, nice.
Reviewers are having lots of fun with it so far, from what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what really struck me about this, was how unique that card flipping thing felt.
Yeah,
it was just a super fun thing, and felt like, hey, there's a lot of things going on with dexterity, with stacking and card tossing and all that, but like using a card as a spatula felt fresh and new. So
yeah,
so that's it, man. That is a little something about Walk on Fire and some games that you can play if you want to have like a food theme night. You know, if you have any, I want to hear some of your game pairings for appetizers. All right, so tell me your favorite game on Twitter and tell me what appetizer you think goes well with it. And you can tweet at me at Jason Kotarski or at Green Couch Games. Where can people find you, Eric?
I'm at DonutCow11 on Twitter.
Awesome. Thank you for tuning in. To find more great podcasts, go to thedicetowernetwork.com. And until next time, get out there and play some great little games.